My guest on Thinking Out Loud is Marcus Gardley. He's a poet and playwright, originally from West Oakland, California. He was the recipient of the 2014 Glickman Award for his play, The House That Will Not Stand. He was a finalist for the 2015 Kennedy Prize and won the 2013 USA James Baldwin Fellow. The New Yorker describes Gardley as, quote, the heir to Garcia Lorca and Tennessee Williams. His past works include The Gospel of Loving Kindness and An Issue of Blood. Gardley is a member of the New Dramatists, the Dramatists Guild, and the Lark Play Development Center. He's also a professor of playwriting at Brown University. Marcus Gardley premieres his latest work in Missouri, The Tour of the Acting Company, Performance of X, features a Columbia performance on February 18th. My name is Trevor Harris. This is Thinking Out Loud on a Tuesday evening. You're listening to KBIA. Marcus, thanks for taking some time to visit today.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Born and raised in Oakland, you originally studied and wrote poetry at San Francisco State University, and poetry professors there told you on occasion that your poems read like plays. You were awarded the San Francisco State University African American Student of Outstanding Achievement Award in 2000, graduated from there with a Bachelor's of Fine Arts, and went on to earn an MFA in playwriting from Yale School of Drama in 2004. Back to your undergraduate days, how did that strike you when the professors told you that your plays or your poems read more like plays?
Well, you know, thinking back, I do remember that the poems had stage directions. That was kind of the big clue. I think for most of the professors, you know, they felt like I'm working in both theater and poetry, but more in theater. You know, I would perform the poems when I read them out loud in class. And so, you know, the delivery was very theatrical. And so I think just intuitively they felt like, you know, he belongs in the theater or both. But I've always wrote poems. I actually don't remember not writing poetry. And I thought that I would just do that, you know. But what was amazing about once I really took a chance and worked in the theater is that poetry obviously can exist on stage. We see that with Shakespeare. We see that with Lorca, with many other playwrights as well, August Wilson. And so it was actually a natural fit because I really detested reading my own work. So, but I knew I wanted to write in heightened language. So, you know, finding my way through the theater has been a really amazing experience because I feel like I can truly authentically express myself.
So when you first showed up at San Francisco State University and were presenting yourself to the faculty there and writing poems, did you think that that was the path for you? Were you going to be a poet or a writer in some sense?
No, not at all. Actually, I just wrote. It was a hobby. It was a hobby of mine for a long time. But my passion actually was French. I was a French major, and I did that for 3 years. And then on the last year, the way the major worked is you needed to study abroad in your final year. But I couldn't afford it. I couldn't afford to go to Paris and do the study abroad program. So I took a year off, was my plan, and I decided I'd, you know, take some writing classes for fun so that I'd keep my mind active. But in the meantime, I took a job and I was going to save money. And one of the classes I took was a playwriting class. And I knew the first day, the very first day when someone read my thing, that, you know, this is where I belong. I changed my major immediately, and I've never looked back.
You mentioned August Wilson earlier. He's been having a good year.
Oh, yeah.
I would think that growing up as an African-American and coming into playwriting as your chosen field, that the name of August Wilson has to loom large in your studies. What influence has he had on you?
Oh, a major influence. What I love most about August Wilson is I love that, you know, he just drenches all of his plays in, like, a very natural, poetic voice. And he empowers, especially African-American men, he empowers them. He gives them space and time on the stage to express themselves in the most elegant, profound, and often tragic, and often surprisingly beautiful way. And so he's been a huge influence on me. I think when I think about, you know, my father and my father's friends and all the aunts, all the uncles, and even my grandparents, my grandfathers, when I think of their generation and the men who they played dominoes with and the men who they prayed with and hung out with. I always think of the character of August Wilson because he's really captured that voice and really, I think, in the most profound way, more than any other playwright has done before. So he was a major influence on me, and I had the honor of actually meeting him. His very last play, which was Radio Golf, premiered at Yale Rep. And because I was a student at Yale Drama School, they invited me to go up and see the play. And I got to introduce myself to him, and he said, "Oh, I know who you are. I read your play. I'm a big fan." It was one of the greatest days of my life. And he said, Yale Rep was producing my play, my first play, the following year. And so he promised he was going to come and see it. And unfortunately, he passed before the show ever premiered. But I got to sit next to him during the play. It was just a great night. And August Wilson was a very warm, friendly, and wise person. I think everywhere he went, he just kind of shined a light on you. You know, there was no pretension. There was no arrogancy, you know, no arrogant attitude, no ego. He was just a warm light. And the love that he poured into these African-American men, he also poured into many, many young writers growing up under his tutelage. And so it was an honor to meet him. He's a major influence for me.
You mentioned that he had no ego in it, that it wasn't about him. I'm curious, in your series of plays that you've written so far and your output up until now, how much of what is coming out is you, and how much are you channeling some character or some person or force that you've encountered previously in life?
I think for most playwrights, I think there's always an element of us that is in there, and oftentimes we can't see it. But what I try to do, I can only speak for myself, what I try to do as a writer, I try to get out of the way of whatever it is the truth that these characters are speaking, whatever it is their truth is, right? So I try to get out of the way and sort of listen to what these characters have to say. When I start working on a play, the first step I do is I do a lot of research about the time, period, the place, and depending on the content of the play, I might interview people, I might sit on a bus, I might, in this case, want a play that I'm recently working on. I sat in a beauty salon for several weeks with Malcolm X, the play that is premiering in Missouri. I read everything I could get my hands on. So that's the first step. And then the second step is really when I have all that material, is to step away from it and, you know, and really meditate on what has stayed with me. And then I try not to too much and, you know, put my own personal opinions into the work. I just like to let characters speak to each other and argue and debate and, love on each other. And in that way, you know, raise questions. I think the great masterworks of the theater raises questions, and it's up to the audience to bring their answers to it. So that's what I try to do. I try not to put myself into it too much.
That's the voice of playwright Marcus Gardley. He'll bring his new work, X, or Betty Shabazz versus the Nation, to Columbia on February 18th. Your plays thus far touch on a number of black issues. One writer in the Oxford Handbook of American Drama pegs you as a post-black artist. When writing a play, for you, how much of your energy goes into telling a certain black narrative? And how much are you just aiming to connect with that one audience member, no matter their race or ethnicity or gender?
I think my number one goal is to affect that one audience member. And it's not about race, gender, class, sexual orientation. It's really everybody. I feel like the theater that I write is for everyone. And I want everyone. My dream is that everyone is present in the theater and can, you know, what I try to do is spark dialogue and that people begin to talk about the material. That's my number one goal as a writer. And so I even try to do that in marketing is, are we attracting an older audience? Are we attracting a younger audience? Is the audience diverse? That's my, you know, I really talk about that with the theater when the work is being produced so that people can engage in the work in sort of in a way in which they're challenged, but they can also talk to people from different walks of life and get their opinions about the piece. But I also feel like I work in what I would call the black aesthetic, which is there are certain African American artistic tenets that I draw upon. And that's necessary because 90% of the characters are Black. So, for example, there's a sense of spirituality. All of my plays have songs, music, history. There may be evoking of the ancestors, which, of course, August Wilson did often. And these things, I think, are important because they, for me, it's part of a long tradition of African-American writing. When you think of Toni Morrison, Langston Hughes, James Baldwin, Rita Dove, all these really great writers, they all work in this tradition, Gwendolyn Brooks, and these are my idols. And so I think what I try to do is I try to take a little bit of what I learned from them, put it in the play, but again, the main goal is to reach everyone.
Bringing to Columbia the premiere of X. I guess the world premiere will be at the University of Kansas 2 days before, but we'll get the Missouri premiere, the second interpretation of the play. We all have an image of Malcolm X. Some of us may have read Alex Haley's mammoth biography of the 1960s Black leader. Growing up, what did Malcolm X mean to you?
Malcolm X is a huge influence on my life. The autobiography of Malcolm X that you just mentioned by Alex Haley, my father, and I used to read that together. It was sort of our book that we shared. And oftentimes he'd even read it, passages of the book to me when I was going to sleep. So it had a huge influence on my life. And Malcolm X loomed large, you know, in my childhood. He, obviously Dr. King was a major influence on my life as well, but Malcolm X in particular way, my father felt it necessary to show his complexity. So, you know, I understood that a lot of people feel like he was militant and angry or what have you. But I got to learn about the other side of Malcolm X, the man who changed his message after after he went to Mecca. I learned about his love for his wife and his daughters, his love for all people. And so that's the main reason I really wanted to write this play, is to show the other side of Malcolm X. And when I was growing up, I knew that most people had the wrong opinion of Malcolm X. I didn't know how to approach it until now. You know, as I approach the age of 40, I finally figured out how I wanted to approach the play. And so it just so happened Ian Belknap, who was the artistic director of the acting company, asked me to write it, and all the pieces just really came together. So I feel like it's kismet that I'm writing this play now and that it's being produced.
The final product that we will see here in Columbia on February 18th, X, or Betty Shabazz versus the Nation, what sort of alternate or additional narrative are you sharing with us about Malcolm X in the play?
Well, what's kind of interesting is the play, I won't give away too much, but the context of the play, the structure of the play is a courtroom. It's a courtroom drama. And as various characters appear on the witness stand, they give their version of who Malcolm X was. And so what the audience is asked to do is the audience realizes they're the jury. And what they're tasked with two things. One, to decide who assassinated Malcolm X. And then the second thing is to come to their own conclusion of who Malcolm X really was. And by comparing and contrasting these witness statements, you begin to really get a sense of the complexity of who Malcolm X was, and you're asked to draw your own conclusion of who the man was in history. Therefore, by doing so, we sort of resurrect his legacy, which is made clear in the play. And so I love I love this challenge or charge that the play asks the audience to partake in, because when you experience the play, you leave with something. You leave with the play is asking you to do something, and then you leave with whatever decision you've made, you leave with that. And I love that about theater. I love when theater challenges audiences and gives them a new perspective on life and on people in history.
My- My guest today on Thinking Out Loud has been the playwright Marcus Gardley. He brings his new work to Columbia. X, or Betty Shabazz versus the Nation, will have its Missouri premiere at the Rheinsberger Theater in the Fine Arts Building on the University of Missouri campus on February 18th at 7:30 p.m. Marcus, I wish you safe travels to Columbia. Good luck on the tour.
Thank you.
Thanks for being a guest on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an honor.